Good morning. It's good to be with you once again to worship this Sunday morning. Hope that you've come to worship with us in spirit and in truth, because Jesus says that that's the type of worshipers that the Father is searching for. I have salvation on my mind today. Salvation. What is the salvation of God but to be reconciled to God, to be made right with God? And how can we be made right with God? The only way that we can be made right with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we have the blood of Jesus Christ? It is through believing that He is the Son of God, to believe that He is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do. He has provided salvation for us. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that we're able to gather together in Your house once again to give You glory and praise and honor this morning. Father, we ask as we worship You in our hearts and our minds that, Father, we worship You with all that we are. Father, do not let us hold back. You search the hearts of men to know who they truly are in relation to You. And, Father, we desire to be all that You would have us to be. We desire to love You with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our spirit. Father, we love You and we thank You that we're able to be here. And Father, as we worship You once again, hear our praise. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a reading from God's Word. This is 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We're going to sing Victory in Jesus. If you're listening at home or you're watching on one of the websites, please join in with us.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He made His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His precious power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And I heard about the streets of gold, beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption soaring, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and though my love is to Him, He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Victory. Victory in Christ. Victory in Jesus. Only Jesus can give us victory in life. We can live our lives any way that we want, but it is only through Jesus Christ that we have victory over sin, death, and hell. You know, this COVID-19 virus that is afflicting the world today, it's a wake-up call, I think, for the world. I do believe that. I believe that God uses such things to bring people to a realization that they're not in the control that they think that they are. And I believe that God is using this particular time to see if His people who are called by His name will turn to Him and pray and have their land healed. I believe that people that do not believe in the Son of God, that there is a clarion call going out to make them wonder, to make them think, could this be the beginning of the end? Could this be before these Christian people say that Jesus is coming again and the world will be plunged into this terrible, terrible wrath of God? Now, Christians will never see the wrath of God because we're the children of God. And we know that because we love the Lord. But those of you that are listening today that have never made a profession of faith, that have never thought, is this the end? Is this all that there is? My friend, I tell you that this is not the end. There is a place for everyone, whether it is heaven or whether it is hell. And God does the sorting, and the sorting begins in the house of God. After the resurrection, Jesus came and went, and many people saw Him. One of the final pictures that we have of Jesus is along the Sea of Galilee, and He's preparing breakfast for His friends. But His friends are fishing out in the sea, and they've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing. But Jesus is on shore, and He asks them, have you caught anything? And they say, no. And He says, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they cast their nets, and they brought in such a haul that they could barely haul it in to shore. But Jesus had been preparing breakfast for them when they got there. His purpose was not only to feed them physically, but to restore them spiritually. Listen to the good news according to John chapter 21. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered Him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with the fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him this the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And after saying this, said to him, "Follow me." My friends, I ask you honestly today to search your hearts and to say, do you love the Lord? Peter had denied Jesus three times, saying, "I don't know the man." And here three times Jesus had asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter all three times acknowledged, "Yes, I love you, Lord." Do you love the Lord today? If you do, then listen for his voice and follow him. Our next hymn is "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Please, I encourage you to sing along with it with your heart.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea, daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter,
Thank you, folks. Good morning, Vine Grove Baptist Church family, Hardin County family, and all the family throughout the country and the world that might be listening in or watching. Welcome to our church this morning. As I begin, I'll begin with our announcements today. And the big announcement that I want to make is that on the 31st of May, this month, the 31st, which is on Sunday, will be the day that we will reopen our church for people-to-people gathering. Now, the guidelines and all, you're going to be hearing about them. You'll be fine if you're well. If, for any reason, you feel uncomfortable, keep listening and watching. If, for any reason, that you feel that you have an illness at all, don't come. But wash your hands anyway. Don't come. But I want to get the people-to-people back. Now, as of right now, I do know that that date has not been authorized by the state as of yet. I'll be talking, be following along. But, folks, in the announcement part, let me tell you this. You all have listened to me preach, those who are here at Vine Grove Baptist Church. I've been pastor here for 25 years. I've preached over 40 years in this area to just about all of the churches. And it's important to me that we understand that the freedom of the United States of America makes it possible for us to go and come in freedom to proclaim the truth of Almighty God. You've heard me say it time and again as being a combat Marine, and a whole church full of veterans that have stood strong for the freedom of America. Socialism is the first step to communism. Very small difference with it. And yet I was listening to young people say, you know, I don't know, socialism sounds not so bad. It may not sound bad, but it is deadly. So tell me, young folk, so far, have you enjoyed having a government tell you you can't leave your home? You cannot go play basketball with your friends. You cannot have contact with your friends. Well, we have a lot of video advices, a lot of great technology. But, folks, we're social people. Read a post that I just put as their independence. You'll see it on, I know it's on my Facebook. It will be coming on to the church Facebook this coming week. And it focuses on us understanding our independence and our dependence upon God and God only. So, in saying all of that, I'm saying that our church will go people to people on the 31st of October. I hope and pray to get to be here to see your faces. And I enjoy your pictures. Bob, do what? Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I was going in my birthday month. 31st of May. Thank you. Nothing like a praise team. They keep me straightened out. I'll guarantee you that. And remember that as I look at these pictures, I know the personalities and the spirits behind them. And I was going to tell Bob Hurley and Debbie Hurley, your pictures are just great. You know, leave it to a man that owns a machine gun and has a 1940s vehicle to dress his wife like Clyde and himself like, he dressed his wife like Bonnie. I'm getting them mixed up now. Bonnie and Clyde, it really looks neat. Anyway, I have them on our pew. remember, I want to see you. And I hope and pray that that's made possible for me to do that. I'm going to go into a prayer time now because I'm messing everything else up. I want us to remember Wendy. Now, for those of you who don't know, that was Wendy Chitwood's voice. It was straightening me out a while ago. Wendy and her sister, Elaine, watch after their mom and dad. And Elaine is the main caregiver there. I want you to lift both of them in prayer. There are those of you who have had to be caregivers for elderly parents. You know how difficult that truly is. So lift them to the Lord in prayer. Norman and Patricia, God love you. I speak with Norman quite often, have prayer with them. They're still at home and still fighting. Brother Norm's fighting all the garbage of his illness and cancer and everything else, like a lot of us are. But you keep them in your heart and in your prayers. We love you, Brother Norm, Miss Patricia. Lovell Cottrell's face swelling has gone down since her fall. She still tells me she's quite colorful in the face. And Miss Lovell has always been a colorful personality, and I love her to death. Claude and Marion Kidder. Brother Claude, you're blessed to have such a wife that watches after you. My prayers are with the both of you as you are at home and dealing with life journey of illness and sickness. Joe Mancinco, God bless you, Joe. I love you, my friend. You and I have been friends for many years. I love to see you back at church when we get open again. Mitch and Phyllis Mitchell. Mitch, you do everything. And Phyllis, now, we'll just keep you in prayer. I love you all. Love you to death. I do want also, Tammy Linder, my niece, had to go to the hospital this morning. She was taken in. She's a nurse at Hardin Memorial. She'd been taken in. The word I got just a little bit ago before I came up to the pulpit was that all the tests so far are clear. I just ask you to keep her in prayer as she undergoes pain in her chest. Now, my young buddy Danny Griffith. Now, Danny, I know again that you've got to be hyper and climbing the walls at home. And, son, I said I expect to open up here on the 31st of May. Thank you, Miss Wendy. On the 31st of May, all information will be on our webpage and more information to come. Now, from those of you who have called and texted, I do go in for this surgery this Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., Tuesday at 6 a.m. What time they do the surgery will be soon after that. And any of you who've been through surgery, you know, you don't have any idea. But I do know that I'm first on the list. I will be going in at 6 a.m. You make sure that you keep Faye in prayer and Hunter and Jason as they worry about their dad and granddad and husband. So you keep them in prayer. This is a little different now, as you know, because nobody's going to be allowed to be there with me. Faye gets to come in and go to pre-op with me. I don't know whether they're going to lock her in the pre-op room for a few hours or not. I'll give them a list of telling them what they need to tell her to do and all of this stuff. But you all can be in prayer during that period of time. And I'll tell you what the doctor has said. It is not certain that this is cancer in my kidney, but the kidney does have to come out. 80% chance that it is, which leaves only 20% that it isn't. But according to what she finds when she goes in, is when they'll determine of whether it's only the kidney that it comes out or whether other parts of me have to come out with it. And that'll have a lot to do with my healing time. So as a good Marine that I told them that I wanted to be, Brother Randy will be filling in for me next Sunday to preach for me, and because it's obvious they're not going to let me do it. But I want to encourage you to lift him to the Lord in prayer also. Now, I don't think Randy's had this experience yet. Done a lot of preaching, a lot of singing and all. But preaching to an empty church, bunch of empty pews, is a lot different than having people out there and all those facial expressions that you get. And you know you've hit the right subject matter, and I can sort of move in that direction. So, Brother Randy, God bless you, my friend. And I know our congregation will truly lift you to the Lord in prayer. As I've mentioned these to you, I want you to bow again with me as we lift them to the Lord in prayer. Father, each one of these we've talked about, every situation. Father, I realize that only you can make a difference in these lives. Only you can put us together. Only you can mold us, Father, and remold us only in your image. Touch our lives now, Father, I pray, that your will shall be done in the heart of each and every one. And I ask that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're here with a heart that's bruised and broken, if you've got in need of hope, that your life can change, you can be forgiven when you're hurting, searching, thinking low. If you're looking for a love that is never failing, you've lost for where to go. Well, put on a chair to the master's table, go ahead and make yourself at home. Where you belong.
But if you'd like a family that knows the feeling
of a heaping dose of amazing grace, well, you've arrived, so look no further. Come on inside to the love of the Father. You're gonna find you got a few more sisters and brothers and a long journey on a beautiful brand new life.
Thank you, folks. What a blessing. All of us, in our daily activities, in our living life, in every situation, fall so often into a trap. And that trap, you probably would not consider it being a trap at the time you're in it. It's called a comfort zone. We get in our comfort zone. I'm comfortable, people say, speaking to certain types of people. uncomfortable speaking with other types. Therefore, I stay in my comfort zone when it comes to sharing Christ. Well, do you know that people that don't know Jesus Christ are not very comfortable? Do you know that they live outside your comfort zone? So if you stay in your comfort zone, how are they going to hear? How are they going to learn? If all the Christians stay in their own comfort zone, comfort zones are dangerous. Oh, they feel good. They're, you might say, comfortable. I enjoy being comfortable. But I like it when I feel good. I appreciate it when I feel good. But folks, there's more to life than comfort. There's more to life than feeling good. There's a life that is going on in this world that is raging like the storms of hell itself. And if the Christian family does not move outside the doors of the church, then God will shut the buildings. God will shut the buildings. How long then will it be before the Word of God is seldom heard? Because God's people, we would say, well, we're comfortable. We're going to go out here and we're going to build our own little villages. We're going to go do our own thing because we're like-minded. Wouldn't it get a little boring? I think that's why God gave us husbands and wives. There's nothing ever boring with husbands and wives. Because if you agree with something at one period of time, I guarantee you there's a time coming when you're not going to agree. Now, if you agreed on everything all the time, it'd be a little boring around the house. And I dare say of all the couples that I know, it is not boring around their homes. I have been told several times in 53 years of marriage that I was wrong. Huh. Knock me out of my comfort zone. I have one heckler today. Now, for those of you who are wondering, it's my wife. It is a blessing for you and me to understand something. And that something I want us to understand is this. God did not give me a comfort zone. God did not give you a comfort zone for you to stay in it. He gave you a comfort zone for you to retreat to it after you've been out doing His business. We have to wake up and move outside of our comfort zone. You know, I think Jesus had it pretty good right where He was in heaven, don't you? He's with the Father in heaven, everything perfect. But Jesus looked at the most precious of His creation. And the only hope that you and I have was for Jesus to leave His comfort zone, to come down and take on all hell so you and I could have eternal peace, eternal comfort zone in heaven with Him, but He had to leave it to do salvation. Now, Jesus came to earth to do salvation God's way. Now, you Christians, listen to me. I want you to back away from doing salvation your way and telling others to do salvation your way. Well, now that you're a Christian, here's how you need to dress, here's how you need to talk, and here's how you need to act. How many people do you know that act right? Well, the most of the ones that you are looking at it aren't acting right. The reason you recognize it is because that's you. How about letting the Holy Spirit who saves us then direct us in our salvation life that God has given us, and get out of your comfort zone, that cookie-cutting comfort zone. I was raised in it. Edna Grove Baptist Church out of Greene County. There was one way that you did it, and it was cookie cutting, and the granddaddies, mamas, daddies, grandkids, and everybody followed the cookie cutting Christian step. And then I got out in the real world. Whoo! Was I not prepared for it? I was cocky going into Marine Corps at 17 and I getting to see the world. I got to see it. I got to see 48 countries. I got to see combat in two of them. It was great. Yeah. There's a real world out there. I didn't hear about it because I had been a part of the cookie-cutting Christian community. This is the way it is. This is what you say. Well, you, no, Larry, you can't pray standing up. You got to get down. No, Larry, now listen to me. You know, at one time when I was doing a revival, and I stopped at the front pew of that revival when I came in, and I was just kneeling to pray. Well, in those days, I wore crosses on my collar for the prison chaplain. I wore crosses on my collar. And the deacons about lost their mind in that church because why did he kneel on one knee? They asked me afterwards. And I said, well, I had my hand on the pew and I wasn't going to be able to get up if I got on both of them. You see the foolishness. I know Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. And in order for me to show the world that I know Jesus and I know salvation His way, not man's way, I got to get out of my comfort zone. I got to get around people that don't necessarily like me. Well, they are not hard to find, and they're not hard to find for you either. They're a world that is hurting. How about loving someone? You know, I had somebody sleeping in my barn and somebody broke in, stole stuff out of my shop at home. And I'm going to, Faye is fixing me up a sheet to let them know if you're sleeping in the barn, I'll make sure that you have a room. And I would have blessed their life and I'd have bought them new stuff if they had needed it. Well, don't you see? You and I got to get out of our comfort zone and get into the heart of those individuals that see no hope. Those individuals who are broken. There's a lot of broken people out here in this world, folks. A lot of broken people. Love them. God says, I'm here for you. And He sends Jesus right out of His comfort zone. Listen to John 6, 38, 40. This is Jesus speaking. You ready? For I have come down from heaven. You see where He came from? I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. Folks, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. And when God says salvation is of my Son and my Son only, count on it. Take it to the bank of God. Because that's the way it is. Salvation God's way. Not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will. And His will is awesome. I'll read it here for you. This is the will of the Father who sent me. That of all He has given me, it's not Jesus, out of all He has given me, I, Jesus says, should lose nothing. Do you really think that Jesus is going to lose you? You were given to Him by God the Father. You're protected by the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Jesus the Son. Satan ain't going to touch you that way. but I should raise it up at the last day. That means, look, life comes, this body breaks down, the body goes back to the dust. God created this body, and God said, that ain't going to happen for very long. What God has created, God will restore. When God created man, He did not create man to die. Sin caused the death of man. And God says, one day my son's coming back for you. And I don't care whether you've drowned in the ocean, burned alive, beheaded, I'm putting that body back together and glorifying it. That means it can't happen again. Nobody gonna mess with you again. Satan, a disease is not gonna coronavirus. Ha! Not a shot. Because Jesus is in charge. But we gotta get out of our comfort zone and tell people the story. Verse 40. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone, do you hear me now? Everyone, not just a few, everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. You know how I know that? Because I'm a child of God. He says so. I'm a child of God.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. In the sunset spring, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child. He has ransomed me, His grace must be. While I was a slave, Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you, folks. A child of God. Well, we got to move, children of God. We have to move outside the walls of a church into the real world. For there in that real world is exactly where Jesus carried on his ministry. Jesus was in every ditch of life all around the communities where he ministered. He went out to deliver a message from his Father to the world. And then he's charged the church, his church, with that same mission. The good news. You got it. Take it out. Tell the world that they can be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Tell them the truth. Salvation is of the Lord, not of rules and regulations and guidelines or denominations. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God. And he said, I will come in and I will indwell you. I will live with you. So don't get so comfortable where you are. I get to go into that comfort spot. It's comfortable going home. It's comfortable coming to church. It's comfortable being around your friends. But you and I, every one of us know, folks, that's not the answer for the world, for us to be comfortable. The answer is for us to go and come from our comfortable positions, to take the message so others will understand that comfort. Now, I'm going to say something to you. It's going to bother some people. But it's a fact. I'll tell you why it's a fact, too. You have to move outside your family comfort zone. Listen to me. Move outside your family comfort zone. If I do not move outside my family comfort zone, my family has no protection. Because each one of us are called by God to a special ministry. Now, our families want us protected. The moms are something else. Now, you talk about helicopter moms. They're not just helicopter moms. They're moms that own helicopters and they have rappelling rope. And they'll either hook you up and pull you up or they're coming down and God have mercy on the ones that mess with their kids. But God says, that's what I want you to understand. If you're not willing to come and serve me, your family has no protection. Now listen to this. Matthew 10, verses 37, 38. Here's what Jesus says. He who loves father or mother more than me, this is hard for some people to get, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he, talk about getting outside your comfort zone, he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I love my family. And because I love my family, I know that I must step outside that comfort zone. and go out and be about my Father's business. Don't you worry, Larry. I'm watching your family. I'll take care of the relationships. You be about my business. We worry about one another in family. And too often we speak from our mind instead of the spiritual heart. And we will beg someone in the family not to do this or not to do that. I'm afraid, kid, that you'll get hurt. Have you all noticed there's a lot of hurt going on in this world? Oh, by the way, while you're looking at that and thinking about that, have you noticed there's a whole lot of hurt going on inside the Christian family? We are human beings. We mess up. We hurt. And we want to protect one another. You know, it's just like our excitement about wanting to get someone saved. I'm going to get you saved if I got to break all 10 commandments to do it. Doesn't matter to us. That's the human family love. Jesus said, I want you to go beyond that. I want you to get into spiritual living. And that spiritual love that I've given you is a love for me. And when you love me, you trust me. And when you trust me that I'll take care of you. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I'll take care of it. Who put food on your table? No, it's not your hard work. It's the same Lord that puts clothes on your back. And when you get ready to leave this body, tell me something. What does all that stuff mean? And then tell me this. What does your love for your family, love for each other mean? You know, the only thing that you can take with you to heaven is that person beside of you. Listen to me. You tell them about Jesus. What can I take from this earth to heaven? A spirit that you shared Jesus Christ with. Oh, you tell God on them, folks. But you get outside your family comfort zone. Now, don't you stay outside of it. You get back there. You need a break. Shut that door, lock it if you need to, and go, phew, I made it home again. I'm with family. But you got to get out, because it's the mission. It's the ministry. It's the calling to get about our Father's business. We got to also do this. Move outside our world comfort zone. We're getting just a little bit too snug in the rug, as a bug in the rug with the world. We're just allowing a little bit too much of the world to come into God's family. We're just getting a little too comfortable with having government tell us what to do, when to move, and how to act. You got to get out of that comfort zone. But preacher, are we not supposed to obey the law of the land? Yes, we are, until that law goes against the law of God. Absolutely. Well, who decides? God does. He wrote a book. You ought to read it sometime. Great read. God decides, not government. I fought for my country. I'm proud of that period of my life to get to stand up for freedom. And I'll guarantee you, I will not set back without speaking up and standing on the front line to go against any governments that attempt to take that freedom away from me and my family and my church. It just ain't going to happen without a fight. So what we do, get outside that world comfort zone. You really like people telling you what to do all the time? That's strange. Marriages don't like it. You don't like it around the people you love. So why are you going to let the world dictate it to you? Read a book. Pray. God gave us enough sense. He's the one who told us to wash our hands, even before meals. God knows how to take care of us. James 4:4, half-brother to Jesus. And James said that James was rough. James was a little legalist also, but James was rough. Most preachers are just a tad salty. Just a little bit rough. Not as rough probably as your pastor, but they're rough around the edges. Listen to James. And James says, "You adulterous people." Yep, that's James. You know, James didn't even believe in Jesus till after the resurrection. His half-brother, he didn't even believe that he was the Savior. Man, did he change. "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God?" Huh. "Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." What did the Hebrew nation do while they were in bondage? They were doing fine in bondage. They're worshiping God. God gives them their freedom. And they turn on God because they wanted to go back to their slavery, to the realm of the world. Is that what we're really looking for, America? To become a slave in socialism and communism in the United States of America? I think not. That's why you're seeing folks on the street. Enough, governors. Keep your nose in the Capitol and out of the home. For we do have common sense in America. We really do. And we've done just fine, thank you, with telling our family the difference between right and wrong and washing our hands. Oh, we'll follow rules to a point. But be careful, because you may be making that point way too sharp. And Americans will rebel against it. So I tell you this, don't you dare rebel against God. But if you call yourself a friend of the world, God's Word says you become an enemy of God. Freedom. Moving outside my comfort zone. I have the freedom to move. I have a freedom to return. And this is one pastor that'll die for that freedom. Because God gave it to us. Take that to the bank of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation. We ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that you will touch our lives. Help us to always remember you, Father. Help us to lift your word above all else and to get outside our comfort zone, to stand for you, to stand for truth, and to share the love that only you can give. And we ask that blessing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.